revelation. And you begin to see what Jesus saw, what God sees, and what the Holy Spirit sees in various times. Now, we've come to information, we've come to a lot of Bible knowledge, and Bible knowledge is good within itself, information is good within itself, but it cannot cause you to walk into the places that God wants you to walk. So, I got a scripture lesson that I need to show you to bring you further than information. And then the worry, there's a lot of worry in the body of Christ. It's a lot of worry because most of our time is spent in work. And concerned about need instead of about purpose. See, when people come not expecting to have an experience or an encounter, they come to get information, that's all. And we had no information. Now we got too much information without revelation. And so now we have to take the information and pray about it and let God begin to reveal himself to us beyond just having a lot of Bible knowledge. We need to have encounters and experiences with God. So there's a scripture there in John 10:10. I want you to look at it before I go to the main text. It talks about it divides the Bible. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Okay? Now the only thing that will stop that is having encounters and experiences with God. Church business, church activities will not cause us to have the abundant life. Coming to church, taking communion, reading your Bible alone will not cause you to experience or encounter God. And that's where people got a problem, because people think that they know a lot of scriptures that they have had encounters with God. No. Encounters with God. I'm going to show you some things tonight that definitely at all time you have to be receiving revelation. The revealed word, the revealed will, and the revealed way of God. You heard me? The revealed word, the revealed will, and the revealed way of God. Now, let's go to the end, the revealed way of God. There's always a way. There's always a divine passage, always a divine pathway. When you are attacked or when you are seen to be blocked and you can't get no further, through revelation, God will unfold insight to you that'll cause you to make it when the average person will never make it. You see? But you can't do that just when we have come to the point where we have come from tradition and religion where we didn't know nothing. Now we know too much. You understand what I'm saying? We know too much of information. And so that information has somewhat caused us to think that we're greater than a traditional church because they don't have this and they don't have that. But is Satan still playing a game? Because he's still stealing from us. We are the majority of the body probably still sick, still broke, still got problems, and it shouldn't be. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I'm come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. But you're not going to have abundant life without properly understanding the spirit of faith, the anointing, and the glory world. And you're going to have the Holy Spirit giving you revelation. That's the only way you're going to be able to receive what is rightfully yours and to stop Satan from stealing. You understand? So I have to talk to you about, you know, it's important about having encounters with God presence, supernatural with God presence, supernatural encounters. Now listen, let me tell you what an encounter is. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I want to tell you what an encounter is. An encounter with God is an everlasting experience. It doesn't leave you. Once you've had an encounter with God, it doesn't leave you. It takes you to your next destination. You heard that? It takes you to the next. There is, the Spirit of God said to me, with God, there's no relationship without revelation. If you don't have revelation, if a husband never talked to his wife, they get married, never talk to her, and create some intimacy with her and let her know what he like, and she can tell him what she dislike or like, and they didn't come to a relationship where they can walk together. Well, God cannot function without you having revelation. And so we sometimes, the substitute of information, I'm trying to get this over, the substitute of information make you think you have revelation. But when the grease get hot, you can't handle it because you don't have the power. You don't have the wisdom. You don't have the know-how. You don't have the understanding. You don't have the knowledge. You're a church member. All right? So that's the things in life cannot, the things in life that cannot be carried out by information alone. There has to be the revealed will of God, the revealed plan of God. And then if you're not walking in the revelation, you'll see the plan, but you won't know it. Because it's not fitting with your senses, it's not fitting with your thoughts. But it's divine and it's supernatural. And God just wrap things up in the supernatural. He goes in a way that the natural man can understand. All right, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I'll show you the mistakes we have made and God come and do this 192 miracles and signs and wonders and hearts and heal cancer and all kind of stuff. Just all on his own. All on his own. So in Luke chapter 10, you got this story, and we read these stories, but this thing is real impact. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It's the two sisters, and I think it shows us where the church have been, and the church really believed that she's doing a whole lot, but she's an open prey for the enemy, and that's why we got so many things going on in the church. In the 38th verse, now it came to pass as they went that he entered a certain village, and Jesus is talking about, and a certain woman named what? What she received him at? Into her house, all right? And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, it's not written in the scripture, but here's one receive him into her house. Here's another one making preparation to receive him in her heart. And so in the heart, and sometimes it is exchangeable, the heart meaning the spirit, all right? She was putting herself in a position that she can go beyond information, and you'll find out that she did go beyond information and tap into revelation. And when that happened, her and God make contact. All right, now watch what happened. 39th verse. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and what? And what? What that mean, heard his word? I mean, what can happen? It didn't say she listened at his word. She heard his word, you know. We know it says, so that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus said, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. You can't really get, my wife and I was looking for a place today, and if we couldn't hear the direction, we'd have never gotten there. And so when you're hearing God's word, God is giving you supernatural direction. What I said? I want you to hold on that, children. Supernatural direction comes from hearing the word of God. Not information. See, not information. See, because you can read the word or you can hear me talking the word and don't hear it. So he's not talking about normally just sound. He's talking about insight or enlightenment that the Spirit of God released into your spirit when you hear the word of God. It's going to be proven because the Lord said, I know she was hearing beyond natural because she got down there and the Lord said she'll not be taken from her. So she was hearing to the point that she was hearing revelation knowledge. Say revelation knowledge. Now, you know, Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to read it sometime and begin to pray. The 17th verse on through the end of that chapter talks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that's what the church needs to function in the supernatural, function having encounter with God. Now watch this 40th verse. But Martha was coming about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now notice this 41st verse. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, he called her name twice. Can I get your attention, please, Martha? Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, wait a minute. She was trying to serve the Lord. But Jesus said to her that what her sister is doing is more important. Now, I believe the majority of the church is on that side of the ledger in verse 41. Because people have no problem having different days and coming and helping and all that. But yet those things will not protect you when you need to stand up against the enemy. And so just to identify, just to save face, people come do things. But in their personal life, how do you stand spiritually? Are you worried about something? Are you fearful that it's not going to work? And, you know, you really, you don't have the anointing that you need to be at peace when things doesn't go right. Now, the 42nd verse is the verse I'm going to focus on. You got these two sisters, one coming worried about a lot of stuff, and she want to call the other one off. But the Lord said, but one thing is needful. Notice what he said now. I want you to underline that. But one thing is needful. I need to ponder that. One thing is needful. Now, all the stuff you're doing, you know, I think about the word here now. The word come to my mind, prioritize. What's first in your life? Or what is the most important thing you have? You know, somebody might say a diamond ring. Somebody might say a car. Those things are not important. They're all going to burn. What, you see, he said to her, not two things. He said one, but one. You see that in the scripture? How many things he said? One thing. And then notice what he said. One thing is what?
Needful.
I'm going to give you some different translation in a minute. And then he said another tremendous thing. And Mary has chosen that good part. He's talking to Martha because Martha wanted her to come serve. Maybe I've chosen, he called it the good part, and look what he said then. That's why I read John 10:10 in the beginning. Go back and look at John 10:10 now. That's the only way, I'm showing you the only way to the abundant life. That you know how to protect yourself when Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy from you. You know more than a scripture. You know he who written the scripture. You know he who in the scripture. And you've had an encounter and an experience with God, and you have seen God. That's why David was able to whoop Goliath. He had an encounter already with God. He's seen God's hand move. But you can't take scriptures and stand if you don't have revelation. Scriptures would not stand up without revelation. Wow. That's powerful, man. What? The Bible will not stand up without revelation. You'll fall. You're not going to make it. If it's not revealed to you, you're just quoting words and quoting chapters and you're quoting verses, but you're going to lose. See? When a revelation comes, it caused you to have an encounter with God. It caused you to have an experience. It fortifies you. All right, so he said now, three parts there. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part. What's she doing? What is she doing? What is she doing? What does the scripture say she was doing? She's not hearing his word, right? What should not be taken away from her. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to take this privilege from her, But in essence, he's saying nothing will be taken from her because the word of God can hold it.
Yes,
now, you know, Martha came to Jesus and said, "You don't care about me? Have you ever been that place that my sister had left me alone to serve?" And Jesus said, "You are worried and bothered about many things." Now, here's a translation. One translation said, "But one thing is needful," in that 42nd verse. You saw that, right? All right, another translation said, now, I don't like this one too much. He said, "Only a few things are necessary." See, this is a translation here. He said, "Only a few things, but I think it take away from it." Now, another translation said, "One thing is the most important, what should not be taken from you." See how this is important. The most important thing you can do is hear the word of God and get revelation. All right. Another translation says, "One thing only is essential, and maybe have chosen it. It's the main course, and it won't be taken from her." The Living Bible said there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Isn't that something? That's your mama, something? That's your mama? Yeah, girl, you mark. That's mama. I kept looking. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Watch this now. Mary has discovered it. Pop me that boy. To maintain a stable walk with God and win, as the Bible says you are a winner, you're going to have to make this discovery. You have to make the discovery of how important revelation knowledge is, how important it is to eat the word right, to get it meditated in your digestive, spiritual digestive system. Don't gulp it down. I know some word gulpers. You know you gulp food down, don't chew it. People do that to the word. They rush it on down. No, you have to let it work because that word has something in it. The nutrient in the word, spiritual nutrient, got to get on the inside of you that you can make contact with God properly. All right? All right, now let's go further. That's many Christian leaders in church have become so knowledgeable, so much knowledge that the knowledge has become an idol. And they have become, now watch this statement now, because I got to say it over and over again in different ways. They have become content with knowledge, not with experience. Very few Christians in the body of Christ at large have experience with God. But they have knowledge. So let's see what I'm saying here. They come to church to hear something new. A new teaching. But without the experience, the thief's still gonna steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, they come to church to hear something new. Watch this now. But they don't come to church to experience something new. See? You hear something new, and you go around and flab in your mouth how much you know. But then your life is not adding up with what you're saying. Why? Because you don't have enough experience to protect yourself. You heard something new, but it you never activated it. And you're not as powerful as you talking. See, because anybody can talk up in here. So it is said because most of all the churches in America and in the world have become satisfied with only having knowledge and not knowing God. Wow. Let me tell you why. We become satisfied only knowing about God and not having an encounter with the living God. When you know about God and have not had an encounter with the living God, when pressure comes, you fail. See? And because people know about God, here, now this is going to hurt a little bit, all right? But I've been pastoring 40 years, I think, about 40 years. That is the reason we have so many flaky, vagabond, uncommitted Christians. Now, this church be full on Sunday morning, Mom. This church be full. Where them folks at now? They flaky. They uncommitted. They don't really know God. They don't really love God. They don't know what God going to say tonight. They don't care. They just don't care. They've been set in that traditional way. I'm going on Sunday, and that's the only time I'm going, and I ain't going every Sunday. Because they know about God. If you know God, you'll be hungry. You don't know what God going to say. I know they got problems. See? So you have, because, let me go over this again, because I want we become satisfied only knowing about God and not having an encounter with the living God. That is the reason we have so many flaky, vagabond, uncommitted, scripture-carrying Christians. Look at the Bible says. Look what John 5:39 says. Come on. John 5. Search the scripture. John 5:39. Turn there. Come on. John 5:39. Search the scripture, he says. Yes, Phenom, you think what? Yes, but what happened? What the next voice say now? See, you have to have an encounter. My brother, you listening? You have to have an encounter or an experience with God to go to the life. The scripture by himself is not going to give you that life. You know what the scriptures, we're not going on to the next voice, we're not going to, you won't come to me that you had like, it's like having a thief broke in, you have a gun, but you have no ammunition. That's what it's like. You know you got a gun. And so you got these vagabond, uncommitted, flaky Christian that never commit to anything. Why now? Here's why. Because they have never experienced or had supernatural encounters with the living God. Never had it. They think they had it, but they haven't had it because once you have that, you like some people I can point out in this room now, that you just ain't going to change. They don't care what you do. They're not going to change. They want more. They want more. They're hungry. They're after God. So religion in the world does not offer experiences with God. They offer knowledge about God. Many of you sitting in here, and I know many of the members of Word of Life Christian Center who might be watching by internet or just not watching at all, are going through all sort of things in life. Listen to this very carefully. This is so important. But what will keep you alive, keep you fighting, is having an experience with God. I've had some experience with God, so when the fight is on, it's on, brother, because I know he always will bring you through. Now notice this, and this will help you too. Knowledge is not enough until you practice it. Knowledge is not enough until you obey it. You can be taught many principles. Are you listening? Many revelation about God and knowing God, but if you don't obey him, you will not experience the real God. And most Christian doesn't. And you know, I mean, God come through here last week and did all those things. We can't live in that path. Somebody else got to be healed. Somebody else got to be saved. Somebody else got to be delivered. Yeah, that's why them boys on Mount Transfiguration, they didn't understand the supernatural. They won't build three tabernacles. Well, we can't park here. You know, a lot of people are content and satisfied knowing that Jesus is the healer. We're happy. We know that Jesus is the provider. But if you have an encounter with Jesus as your healer, as your provider, it is worth more than you can ever know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, most of the church don't understand that. They don't understand the encounter. You listening?
Yes,
and the experience is what you're looking for.
Yes.
See, if a person, you know, people have come to the point that they come to church to get their need met. Lord, I want a house. Lord, I want to get healed. You know, I want this, I want that, I want that. And no purpose at all. No purpose. It's just need. Need. And see, if you come with purpose, your need will get met. You come just with need, you'll never see the purpose. And you'll never get where you'll get to a point where you can flow in the revelation, flow in the power of God. Most of the time, you come with just your need. When you come to church, you're not coming to seek God, seeking to have an experience or an encounter with Him. You think knowledge is enough. And word, good word. But that's not enough. You need to experience God. I said you need to experience God. What I said? You see, some people think you're coming to church. I've been to Bible class. I've been to the Sunday morning service. No, you need to experience. Why are you here tonight? You need to experience God. You need to know God is mighty. His majesty. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He owned the kingdom. And God make your flesh crawl. You get, Job said it, he made your hair stand on your head. You get in the presence of a real God and have an experience, you cannot stay the same. You need to experience His presence. What is the balance? What is the balance, brothers and sisters, between theology or theory and experience? And see, a lot of this stuff is just theology. See. Now, what I've learned by revelation, listen to me, you listening? What I've learned by revelation, we are in an ongoing position for God to manifest. Let me tell you why. He could manifest tonight. Let me tell you why. Yeah, He can take that kitten and turn it in right now and give you a new one. Let me tell you why. I've learned that God will not come without an invitation. Now, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere, but His manifested presence, He don't go where He tolerated. He come where He celebrates. And we praise Him and honor Him and have expectation. That's the type of people will have a visitation. All right? You see, God, you got to invite God. Theology without any experience or divine encounter is worth nothing. That a man told me he spent how many thousand? $40,000. Went to school for so many years, and in the meeting last week, he learned more in 5 days than he learned in four. And he spent $40,000, biggest seminary, one of the biggest. He came from a seminary family. His father is a pastor, his uncle is a pastor, and they're well-groomed in theology. And I told him a couple of years ago, I see you're too nice. You got to get a little more rougher, man. You know, you're just trying to apologize for everything. Preach the word, you know. And he changed. All right, let's see this now. Watch this. You can have the theology, the knowledge of any kind of theory of Jesus being your Savior, but if you have not experienced it, you're going to hell. You can know, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can know that. But if you don't experience that, when Jesus comes, you ain't going with Him. Or when you die, you're going to hell. See, and so that's why we can't so much hell on here, because we got knowledge without experience. And we won't stay still long enough to get experience, because as soon as somebody corrects something you're doing, you go join another church. So now you've gone to 5 or 6 churches, never had an experience, never had an encounter. You've just been informationing it out. See, you can't be corrected, you can't be directed, so you don't have an experience, an encounter with God. See, Martha was concerned about a lot of working and doing a lot of stuff. Mary sat down at Jesus' feet and heard His word, and was undoubtedly she stepped into an encounter. And doubtless she stepped into experience, because Jesus said, one thing is needful. And Mary, look at the 42nd verse again. But one thing is needful. How many things? One thing is needful. One thing is necessary. One thing is essential. And Mary has chosen that good part. That means you got to make it a choice yourself that you're going to have experience with God, that you're going to have encounter with God. In other words, you're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to work on it when you're not here. And when he said, what should not be taken away from her, you see that in that verse? I don't believe a person who have experienced an encounter with God that the devil himself can't take things from them. But if you do get away from something, God said, I'll make him give it back to you 7-fold. So I'm afraid to say there's many people in the church going to hell. They really haven't had experience with God. They really didn't accept Jesus. They went through the motion. Because, you know, I know that's carnality, but I mean, when a person says it, they just don't do anything. Just can't do anything. Can't just be absent. Just I ain't going. You had a real encounter with God, man. You love Him. You respect Him. You honor Him. Come on, amen. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. You respect Him. You honor Him. I mean, you just can be cold-footed anytime you want, and you go on through these changes, and you know, all the time. You really ain't had no experience with God. I know, because I had experience with God 40-some years ago. I never changed. Once I saw it, I said, this is it. This is it. I've been running behind Him ever since. I had a real experience, though. I had a real encounter with God. So you could have the knowledge of Jesus as the Savior, but it's worth nothing if you never had an encounter with the living Savior. So you need to push for it more. Push it more in your mind. Push more than just knowing something. Push more for new dimension. Push more for new levels. Push more for knowing God. It is said most of the giants of faith in the scripture, they had continuously a supernatural encounter with God all the time. I mean, information by itself is so dry. Now, maybe you had a supernatural encounter you had 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. It's not enough. It's brought you up to here. But from here, you need another one. Amen.
Amen.
You need a prophetic word from God for what God is doing. Things are stuff, circumstances are stuff, this world is stuff. You need to be prepared to have an encounter with the living God. Not only knowledge of it, but the supernatural presence of the living God. Wow. You can have the right theology about your provider, God being your provider, you know, God is my provider. My question is, have you had a living encounter with the provider? Have you been in an impossible situation? Do you have any evidence that he's your provider? Anybody can go to a job and work 8 hours and get a paycheck. I'm saying, have you ever had a condition that God met that men cannot take credit for and you cannot take credit for? Only God could have done that for you. You need an experience, I tell you. You need to seek, my goodness, you need to seek God work something out for you you couldn't work out for yourself. You don't know him. You don't know him if you never needed him. You don't know him if he never come through for you. You just saying what everybody else say. Pressure come gonna knock you out because you just got a lot of mouth, a lot of words, but no experience. Stop trying to attempt to do what you can do. You don't know God until you do something you can't do. Go after something you can't handle. That's why we live mediocre lives, because we don't trust God. We're trying to balance the book. We're trying to deal with this and deal with that. Get close to him and he'll show you something. He'll do something for you supernaturally. He's looking for someone who would trust him all the way. I know many can identify with this. Can you stand here and say, I know what it is not to have money. I know what it is not to have a job. But I can testify that Jesus is my provider. That man and woman stood and told. He ain't been working for years. His wife hadn't been working for 3 years. They thought I was $40,000 a year. Now they're making $437,000 a year. $10,000, $10,000 over a week, $10,000 a week coming in. Why? He learned the system. He learned the soul. And God opened pathways for him that he cannot, she cannot explain. It just happened. They know him as Jehovah Jireh. We can talk about Jehovah Jireh, but from $40,000 to $400,000 a year, he's Jehovah Jireh. And listen to me. All of you can experience that. So it's not enough to have knowledge. You need to practice it. You know the scriptures on miracle? Have you ever been an instrument to do a miracle? Have you received any miracle? Most people in the church have never received none. We just began to really see them last week. So there's many reasons why we need an encounter. Why we need an experience. So here's a question. I need to provoke an appetite for an encounter in you. If you ever have it, I want to provoke an appetite for the experience with the present. I want to move you from where you are. You listening?
Yes, sir.
And provoke you to desire more of God. What I said? This is my job as your father. Have more of a desire for more of God. I'll provoke you and teach you and train you and not just give you information, goosebump, and the church still getting whipped. The church got a lot of entertainment, a lot of goosebump, a lot of crying, running, jumping, spitting. But no evidence. No evidence. I mean, you know, I refer to it, but it's historical. miracle what God did here last week. It is. They're still coming. They're probably coming in on the internet now, on email. They're writing. Boy wrote in. I don't know the whole story. Boy wrote in, and he's in the hospital with his mama. And his mom, I think, 80 years old, and she couldn't walk. They messed with her leg was messed up, and she got up and started walking. Amen. He said, "I saw it with my own eye." Just a few more minutes. Let me talk to you a few more minutes about these two sisters. Let's look at his voice again. Martha, busy with so many things, worried, anxiety, insecurity, fear, doing things for herself to feel good. Now, you need to serve, but she got locked up in it. People are so busy doing things in church and outside of church, it is for them to feel good in their identity. Now, watch this statement. This statement here, you're gonna need to be like Mary for this statement. You need to be listening. In God, everything starts from being, and then you do. In God, everything starts from being, and then you do. See, we're trying to do to be. All right, and it's over there now, but I'm over 87 churches that are under me as a spiritual father, and I had some of them calling themselves apostles. So when I read this, you're gonna know what happened. They said, for example, Pastor, I'm a prophet. Show me. Where are your fruits? I'm an apostle. Show me. How many churches have you planted? How many dead have been raised? Show me the miracles. Show me how many sons and daughters have you raised. Show me. So that's what I asked him on the line. You know, I said, you was on the line. I said, all right, well, give me some evidence. You an apostle? All right. I ain't got no evidence yet. They all changed their name back to pastor. Until further, contact later. And let me train you some things. I'm learning as I go, but let me train you some things, you see. Show me because you are, then you do. You don't do to be, you are to do. Now, it's just like this girl here, Martha. In other words, people are doing busy things all the time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for the Lord. Are you doing it because you are, or are you doing it to feel good? The thief's stealing too much stuff from the church. Why? Because the church is not having an encounter and experience. Are you casting out devils? What the last devil you cast out? Are you serving people because you are a kingdom of priests and kings, sons and daughters of God? You are, I said, you are. King, priests, sons and daughters of God. But the problem is, now listen to me right now. The problem is, some people get irritated with a real man of God, a real woman of God. Many of you are still people pleasers. Because you're trying to feel good about your identity. You want everybody to like you. I know everybody not going to like me. I ain't worried myself about everybody like me. I don't do what the Lord says. You ain't got to like me. I like myself. Yeah, all right. So check your life out. What are you so busy about? First you are, then you do. Some of us too busy doing too many things. Where the rest of the church at tonight? What they doing? Where they going? Where they at? They flaky. I want them to hear me. They flaky. They vagabond. One man said Martha was cooking food Jesus probably wasn't going to eat. People are busy doing things, job. Many of you are busy on our job doing this, doing many things for God, but you're doing it because you're doing it to be. Did you get that? All right. Worried, busy about many things. Mary, who chose the best, the most essential, the most important part, which is what? To have an encounter with his presence. That's the most important part. So you got two choices. Keep busy in doing many things, or you choose God. I choose your presence. I choose your power. I choose you. I want to encounter with you. Lift your hand and praise God and tell God, I want to encounter with you. Come on, everybody in here, lift your hand, tell God, I want to encounter with you. I want you. I want you, Lord. I want to have an encounter. I want to have an experience. I don't just want to read the Bible. I don't just want to go to church. I want the reality in my life on a daily basis. I want you to have supernatural encounters now to remove religion. My job, along with this apostle that I'm studying with, him and I have this, three of them, is to remove religion and take the people to have encounters with the presence and power of God. Get out of being a passive Christian, doing nothing, living in sin. Then get out of the fire for me and my presence. Dedicate and consecrate yourself to me. Because religion is absent of an encounter. Religion will not provide any type of supernatural encounters with God. Come on, talk to him. Tell him you're ready for encounters. I'm ready for the supernatural. Tell him out your own mouth. I'm ready for the supernatural. I'm ready for encounters. Mankoronishikata. Choose God present. You want God present. You don't want to just go through the motion. My goodness. We are called to live above and outside the natural. Nothing can detain you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can step in your way. Why? Because you live outside the natural, outside the circumstances, outside of what you hear. Wake up and shake it all. My goodness. My new members there now, my new members, y'all got that call. Y'all got the last name. Y'all stand together. Y'all got the last name. Are y'all staying together? Are y'all staying together? Y'all got a car together? Are y'all staying together? Are y'all married? Huh? How long? Y'all just joined here, right? Y'all need to be married if you're going to stay together. You got to stop this mess. You understand? Young man, you looking at me? Yeah, you got to talk to some of my ministers. Y'all go ahead on getting married, man. You can't be, this shacking ain't going to work. Y'all got to stop all this shacking. These people, are you going to do it? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Wait, what that mean? Huh? You ready to get married tonight? All right. Come on, let's praise God. Hallelujah. Now, what God is doing, young man, you just got in the church, he's using you. You got the paper? Yeah, get the paper. We're going to break this shacking up tonight. Now, listen to me. How the Holy Ghost work here now? How the Holy Ghost working here? I don't know nothing about no papers. All I know, she testified that God gave them a new car, and I saw their last name was different. So I said, if she said God give us a new car, they had to be living together. That's not right. Hey, Barbara, find Leroy Jr. Find Jr. Tell him he got a wedding. Now, I want to tell you on behalf of God, that's supernatural. That's supernatural. I have no idea. All I have to do is have enough nerve when the Spirit tugged me, because that little girl, she know I love her, and the Spirit tugged me, he said, that's your new members now, you need to get that straight, and he says, ask somebody right now. I could ask them privately, but see, if I asked them privately, it wouldn't have been supernatural. See, you need to hear the boy say, I got the papers in the truck, you want to do it now? Let's get it on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! That's what I'm talking about. Now they are having an encounter tonight, and an experience with God, because now they come in God's will because they're too much shacking up. Christians just move in together, have sex, babies. We got to stop that, man. That got to be stopped. Y'all know that got to be stopped. Y'all know that's not right. I bet you never seen nothing like that. I tell you the truth, I never seen nothing like that in my life myself. Boy, I said, I got the paper. You won't get it on? I got the paper. I do it tonight. My Jesus. Made my day. How about your day? Now, I want to tell you something now. I want to tell you something. That will be recorded. My secretary will record. That's supernatural. That's the Holy Ghost, man. And I know she's happy. She's real happy. She's ready. Put some fire on his feet, too. Let's do this. Keep putting up. I'm going to do it. No, we're going to do it tonight. Yeah, Ronald right here. I don't find Leroy. Ronald here. Get the vials. Get ready. Devil's a liar. Woo. Sit down. Let's receive tonight's offering. And I gotta figure out how God won't do this. Give me a few minutes. Anybody else wanna get married? If I had the man, I would. If I had the wife, yeah, I know it. Yeah, just don't marry anybody. You know. Anybody else? Anybody? Get, if you need an envelope for your giving, lift your hand. That's it. Thank you. for Father's Day. He do it all the time. They do it all the time. Yeah, I know. I received it. What you would do if somebody dropped $10,000? Huh? Well, don't be hating on me then. It's $10,000. He had the opportunity, Dr. Bostick and the two doctors. Otto Holzer, you remember Otto Holzer? Benson? He died, but he was a great man of God, and they had